Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can reach into the studio right now and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or some life issue you're dealing with and you'd like to discuss it with us, now's the time to call. 844-322-2742. Because it's Basic Gospel, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. John wrote this in his first letter. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So anybody who is in Christ, this is true of you. Your sins have been forgiven. And that's good news. And when you know that, you find your place of rest. You rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Andrew, welcome to the program today.
Yeah.
We've been talking about New Year's resolutions, and the first of three that I've offered up for people to consider is this: to find your place of rest in Christ, to rest in the finished work. And that's when you really know that your sins are forgiven. And this is so vitally important as far as your relationship with Christ is concerned.
Yes, it is. In fact, this was the invitation that Jesus gave in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all of you who are working, who are laboring, you're heavy laden, you're downtrodden, you've been beaten up by this world. And he says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. And that was Jesus' invitation. And you fast forward 2,000 years later, Bob, and you see a lot of us Christians, and we're still weary, and we're still heavy laden, and we're still wondering, Jesus, where is that rest? How can I find it? How did I miss it? What's going on? And that's when this new covenant of God's grace really has to come into play, because there's no way that you're going to live under a rule-based, rule-driven system of self-improvement here and every week, week in, week out, what you're supposed to be doing, what you're not supposed to be doing, getting out your checklist, measuring yourself, and getting beat up over and over and over again with a checklist of religiosity, and then somehow expect to wake up on Monday morning and experience this rest of Jesus. So we have to say, we have to come to a point, Bob, where I think all of us have to say, this is not working for me. Yes, I accepted Christ by grace through faith, but something happened after that. I switched methods. I started trying to impress God through human effort. I started trying instead of trusting, and I went off the rails in terms of enjoying the rest of this new covenant grace. So, you know, that's why we're on the air here at Basic Gospel. We're on the air every day to encourage people in the love and forgiveness and grace of God, so that all of us can see this invitation to rest is real, and it's for right now, and Jesus really meant it, and it is our destiny to enjoy him. So why wait for that? Why wait for heaven when we can really start enjoying this free connection with God right now? And if there's something in your life right now that's weighing you down, some sort of fear, some sort of guilt, well, you know, Jesus is here to alleviate that and take it away. That's the purpose of the gospel. So we don't have to remain stuck, Bob. That's what I love about Jesus' invitation. The freedom is real and the rest is real.
Yeah, Andrew, as you were talking, you know, so many people out there are trying harder. And if they read the Bible, they'll realize that that phrase, try harder, is you're not going to find it. It's not in the Word of God. There's never a time where Jesus looks at us and says, you just need to try harder. He always says, you just need to trust. You just need to rest in what I've accomplished. And that begins with understanding what he did for you at the cross, understanding these great words that John wrote, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake.
But it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, and we have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. We have several calls and questions we'd like to get to today, so let's go ahead and have that first one right now.
Hi, I'm Tina from Phoenix, and I'd like to know how to go forward as an adult child being raised by toxic parents. I suffer very severe psychological, mental, emotional abuse growing up. I still don't understand why whatever I do, I can't get their love or validation. And all I want is for them to love me and approve of me. How do I go forward? How do I continue without them?
Wow. Well, guys, that is such a pervasive problem in today's world. And the reason is we grew up under fallen parents. The parents that we have are not perfect, and sometimes they're so far away from a good, healthy treatment that we end up abused, as Tina was talking about. And you just you say, well, at some point you have to cut the cord, meaning I can't hope and wait and beg and plead for the approval of another person, even if it's my parents, and look to them for hope and meaning and purpose and value, because they're always going to fall short. And, you know, even if they come around someday in this situation, we're still going to find that our parents are not meeting that core need. And so I would say, you know, we have to release our parents. We have to forgive them for the ways that they fell short. And many times those are vast and expansive ways that they've fallen short. And then you look at some of the needs of the human heart. I mean, Tina was talking about approval and validation and acceptance. Well, where are we going to find that? I mean, we talk about finding it in God as some sort of trite statement here or there. But then when we dig a little deeper, and maybe when we're a little bit more desperate in this life, we start really taking it seriously and saying, okay, wait a minute. I believe that the God of the universe spoke all of this into existence. Then I believe that he gave his life for me on the cross by sending his son. Then I believe that he rose from the dead. So if he is my designer and he's my redeemer, then maybe he knows something about meeting my needs. And when it comes to approval, I'm going to have to figure out, you know, the answer to this question. What does God think of me? Does he approve of me? What are his thoughts toward me? If he accepts me, how full and complete is that acceptance? And that's where the gospel comes in. It says, you know, Romans tells us we're accepted in the beloved. Hebrews tells us that we are made perfect forever. We're told that even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. If God is for us, who can be against us? So, Bob, you know, I think it really has to dawn on us that the gospel truly holds the answers to every human problem, and truly God can meet the needs of every human heart. And when we start to believe that and seek, then we find. We find in the gospel the acceptance and the approval and the validation of a heavenly Father who will never fail us. And that is real, and we can begin to enjoy that now.
Yeah, and that's the very truth that'll free Tina from trying to seek that type of approval from her parents. And, you know, there's lots, and this gets right back to what we were saying at the beginning, to find your place of rest in Jesus Christ. Tina is running on a treadmill, trying to do whatever she can to get her parents to take a look at her and to treat her differently than how they treated her as a kid. And it's that treadmill's not going to get her to the goal. And she, you know, there's lots of Christians trying to run on a spiritual treadmill to get God's approval.
Yeah.
And that's not going to get them to their goal either. We first have to rest in Christ, and then we're free to look at our parents in a completely different viewpoint.
Yes,
and Tina, that's where we hope you will go this year, that you will find your place of rest in Christ, that you will come to this point and know that you are right in his eyes, that you are approved by him because of the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Well, Andrew, both your ministry and Basic Gospel have just concluded 2019 year-end. We've seen so many of our respective listeners step up to support the message they hear on the air and online. What does this say to you to see the listeners stand with us shoulder to shoulder to make sure this gospel of grace continues to be heard every day? What does it mean to you personally?
Oh, my goodness, Bob. I mean, first, let's state the obvious. All of us in this ministry, we are human beings, and we're in need of encouragement. We're in need of affirmation, and, you know, God provides that in so many ways. Sometimes, as we were just talking, through a direct understanding of His love and approval and encouragement, but many times He will use fellow believers. And so here at Basic Gospel, when we see that people have stepped up and done the extraordinary, when they have reached into their pockets and decided, you know what, I want to give toward the message of Jesus, toward the message of the cross and the resurrection. I want to see other people around the world be transformed by the grace of God. Well, I mean, what does it do for us? It's encouraging. It's off the charts inspiring. It opens new doors. I mean, we're presented with new opportunities all the time to reach even more people with this message of the Basic Gospel. And so, Bob, it blows us over to see that people go the extra mile, so to speak, and give from the heart. And we saw that in 2019. And what that enables us to do then is go into this new year strong and stable and able to reach others even more, and that is exciting.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for those thoughts, Andrew, and I couldn't agree more. You know, our charge to deliver this message comes from God, and kind of in a sense, one way that He validates it is through the generosity of our listeners. And we, of course, are deeply, deeply grateful to each one who stands with us. So, friends, if you haven't yet joined with us, we invite you to come alongside of us and help keep the good news coming. And you can donate now or anytime when you visit our website. That's basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had this question, a very interesting question from Sherry, who is a Facebook viewer. She says, why did the Jewish people not believe their prophets about the Messiah?
Well, Bob, as we examine that question, you know, what comes to mind is unrealistic expectations of a Messiah. I think that when they heard about this Messiah who would bring peace, they thought of military peace. When they heard about the victory He might bring, they thought of military victory. They weren't thinking in spiritual terms because, quite frankly, they were fleshly in their perspective. And so to this very day, the Bible says that at the reading of the Old Testament and the law in particular, many have blinders on and they don't see Jesus. And when a person comes to the Lord, those blinders are taken off and they can see all of the shadows and the symbols and the pictures of who Jesus is as foreshadowed in the Old Testament. So, you know, we have a situation where people are always tending to think about geographic boundaries concerning Israel, about military battles that need to be won, about a physical freedom from an oppressor of a political kind. And that was the lens that Israel was looking at when they saw these prophecies in the Old Testament. And here comes Jesus, and yes, He's the Prince of Peace, and yes, He's victorious over sin and death, but there is a kingdom that is not of this world. There is a spiritual kingdom that we participate in. And Bob, when we understand the spiritual riches that we have in Christ, the spiritual victory that we have in Christ, well then, a lot of those prophecies about the Messiah start to take on a whole new meaning.
Yes, they do. And I've said on this particular question, I don't think Israel understood their real enemy. So they were looking at Rome as the enemy and wanting the Messiah to overcome Rome, to overturn that authority and lift them up as the preeminent nation on planet Earth. And yet their enemy was really Satan, sin, and death. And that's what Jesus came to conquer. And that's why He's our Savior. Yeah. And that's what all of us need. Every single human, whether Jew or Gentile, we need a Savior. Why? Because we're all dead in trespasses and sins, and only Jesus, who has overcome death once and for all, can give us life everlasting.
844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and if you have about 14 after 3 Central Time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can be a part of it right now. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we had this question from another Facebook viewer. This is from Shonda. I know the Bible says that all Scripture is God-breathed. Why are there so many translations? Some seem to be unnecessary. I'm confused, especially with the Message translation. Please help. Please explain.
Well, first of all, you know, and we're only talking about the English translations at this point. Remember that the world is filled with speakers of Chinese and Spanish, and on it goes, German and Russian and Middle Eastern languages. So, you know, even as you look at Bible Gateway, for example, and see dozens of options for you in the English language, there are translations, hundreds of translations, if not more, all over the planet. And when the Bible says that Scripture is God-breathed, it's talking, of course, about the original message as delivered by the apostles. And down through the ages, we have done our very best to translate everything accurately. And my take is there's an obvious forest, not to mention all of the splendid trees. So you're not really going to miss the gospel message in any good translation. If you have the message of Christ and the cross and the resurrection and new life in Him and forgiveness through Him, then you've got it. I mean, that is the core message that the Bible is here to deliver to us anyway. But, you know, the Message translation, for example, that's not really a true word-for-word translation. It is a paraphrase. It's designed to be highly readable, very entertaining along the way, but by no means is it intended to be an accurate translation from the original languages. So, guys, I think ultimately we just have to say, let's enjoy a plethora of translations for what they give us. You know, I love to teach out of the New American Standard many times because of the accuracy of it in many regards. And then I also respect the ESV. But if I'm sitting around on the beach and I just want an easy read, well, I might pick up a paraphrase or the Living Bible. So there's different purposes, but it's all the same gospel message, right?
Absolutely. And I think those folks who gave their lives to translate the Word of God, like Tyndall and some of those other guys hundreds of years ago, they would look to our day with a heart full of gratefulness.
Boy.
And that their work has seen fruit in such a wonderful, wonderful way. So instead of arguing over translations, let's rejoice that we have a lot, and let's rejoice that we have a fantastic teacher called the Spirit of God who can take us into the Word of God and reveal to us the person and work of Jesus Christ, and to help us see and respond to this grace that God has poured out on each of us through Him.
Absolutely. Bob, we're starting a new series tomorrow. Tell us about it.
We are starting a new teaching series. It's called The Great I Am. We're going to look at the 7 statements that Jesus made about Himself. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And on and on and on. And I've done this study, numerous times over the last 40 years. And every time I go through this study, I probably see more growth in people who join in the study than in any other study. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. So we start that tomorrow. We want you to join with us. We'll have study notes available that you can download. I think this is going to be an exciting time. We're going to take the next 10 weeks to work through this series called The Great I Am. Also, we have a brand new video uploaded today on our YouTube channel. Can we ask God for anything we want and expect Him to provide it? And so that's an interesting video.
Yes,
so go there and watch that as well.
Absolutely. Well, a question from a YouTube viewer who remains anonymous. Question is, are people who think we're still under the law actually non-believers, or are they just misguided?
Well, I really believe this speaks to the two audiences in the book of Galatians. So let's look at it through that lens. I mean, first of all, Paul addresses a certain group, and he says, I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you're deserting the gospel for something else that is no gospel, and you're seeking to be justified by the law. So is anyone who is actually waking up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday seeking to be right with God through law keeping, seeking to get saved or be justified by the law, are they a believer? Well, you'd have to say no, because the definition of a new creation, the definition of a believer, is someone who's been saved by grace through faith. Faith in what? Faith in the gospel, not in the message of Moses, but in the message of Jesus. And so those folks would not be believers. And you say, well, what is their hope? Their hope is, you know, one day, hopefully, they come to their senses and they say, I can't do this. I can't justify myself. I can't make myself right. I can't make myself clean or close. I need another way, not a way of trying, but a way of trusting. Now, there's a second audience, though. By the time you get to the third chapter in Galatians, you discover that Paul is, you know, passionately chewing these people out. He's saying, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by human effort? And so the insinuation there is that some of his audience has already begun. They've already begun their Christian journey. They're already in the Lord. They've already begun by the Spirit. But somebody tricked them. Somebody pulled the wool over their eyes. Somebody duped them. And they decided to abandon the way they got saved. So, yes, they got saved in the right way by grace through faith, but 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months later, somebody came in and tricked them and really did a number on them to where they were confused about how to grow, how to proceed, how to continue. So they started adding rule-keeping and law-abiding to try to get right and stay right. So those would be confused Christians. And I think we can't forget that, Bob. We've always got to leave room for confused Christians, because we have been those people.
Yes,
we all have. And so, you know, we just have to leave room for growth and learning and recognize that if we're in Christ, we're on a path. We don't know everything. We don't have everything perfect. There's going to be some messiness to that journey. So lots of Christians, true believers, are bound up in a legalistic approach, and the Holy Spirit lives in them and is trying to teach them something new and different.
Right. And one of the things he's going to teach is that you, as a believer, are no longer under law. You are under grace.
Yeah.
Now, whether you have come to that reality, that doesn't change the truth. And the Spirit of God will continue to work, continue to push that legalistic thinking out of your mind, so that you can experience the wonders and the marvels of God's grace.
Well, you guys are doing good today. Let's do one more question on today's edition. Did Jesus forgive everyone's sin on the cross, even if they never asked for it?
Well, what Jesus did on the cross was absolutely sufficient for the whole world. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of whom? The sins of the whole world. You say, well, how do I benefit from that? Well, I've got to receive it. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So it's the day that we turn from Satan to God, the day that we turn from darkness to light, that we get that forgiveness and new life in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the good news. There's a complete story. It's not just about forgiveness. He forgave our sins so that we could be made new, raised to walk in the newness of life. Bob, take it away.
Friends, would you like to start each day being reminded of the truth of your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we think one of the best ways that we know of is to click subscribe in the upper left corner of the any page on our website, basicgospel.net. And when you do, our daily devotional will arrive in your email inbox every morning, reminding you that you are a dearly beloved child of God. So click subscribe and get started. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have questions you'd like us to address and can't get to us during the live broadcast, well, leave us a voicemail overnight at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. And again, that number is 844-322-2742. And once again, thanks to everyone who supports this ministry with your love, your prayers, and with your gifts. And in January, when you make your gift, we'd like to say thanks for your support, for standing with us by sending you a copy of our latest CD series, The Top 10, Bob Christopher's Favorite Passages. You can donate anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. We would love for you to stand with us and support this ministry of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for the first installment of our new series, The Great I Am, on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.